It is AFQ. It's Neil Atkinson with Amelia Bonner, with Anna Walsh, with Dan Morgan. You back up? I like it when you back up.
Yeah, do the little pre-Christmas thing, because I'm probably not bothering at Christmas.
So this is Christmas.
I expect dinners off people. I expect roastings. Expect crackers.
I can't believe this is Christmas. You're my first Christmas thing, yeah. Dan Morgan.
This is Christmas.
And you're wearing tinsel.
Yeah. What have we done? So yeah, this is it. This is my Christmas at home.
Excellent. So you're a full week, aren't you?
Wednesday.
So you're getting the two games?
Getting the two games. Yeah, that helps as well. Yeah, and just leaning on people for food and hospitality.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm planning a great trip all around.
Working all the way through. How is London? Is it all right?
London's good, yeah, yeah. I was just telling Anna that, like, where I am in Hackney, Y2K fashion's become a massive thing.
Started on it.
What does it mean? What does this mean? Use your words.
Basically, how everyone was dressing in 2006 is now how everyone is dressing in East London. And when you've been an adult and you've lived this and seen it firsthand and dressed it firsthand, it's quite triggering. So it's just quite funny, some of the fashion trends that come and go.
It was such a deeply unsexy time, don't you think? Like, a lot of combat trousers, multiple pockets. I also, one of my main beefs with it is that it's a fashion trend that's quite conditional on having, like, a washboard ab, you know? Like a nice midriff, because it's a lot of, like, low-rise jeans, little crop top. Bring back the skinny jeans is what I'm calling for.
Agree, agree. Yeah, yeah.
I think, in fairness, I think 2006 is more like you've going into the skinny jeans era. The Y2K stuff I'm thinking of is like when I was at university, kind of like 2000, 2002 sort of period.
Big belts.
Yeah, but like they're All Saints type belts and like Levi's Twisted and Hysteric Glamour and loads of, I bought loads of like stupid directional T-shirts that were like 70 quid and they never fit me properly.
It's all very, it's all ugly, I'd say, Y2K fashion. Like, none of it looks nice.
No, it doesn't.
It's almost designed to look ugly,
But then this is the point, they're in their 20s, so they look great.
And they think everything's new. Everything's brand new. So between Y2K fashion and running clubs.
every fucker's got a running club.
So yeah, it's pretty all right.
That's London.
Maybe I need a running club.
There's loads of them.
I don't like other people when I'm running them.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah,
same.
I'm intrigued by all of this. We're going to see me, you, and Anna. We're going to go and see Rebecca Lucy Taylor at the Philharmonic, having a bit of a chat.
We are indeed, yeah. Very
much. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I know she's a close personal friend of yours.
Close personal friend of mine, Rebecca Lucy Taylor.
I thought you might be interviewing her. I was like,
if she's Bob Jack Rook and it's me going, tell me all your favourite things, it would be a shit. Just me going, oh, doesn't your hair look nice? Yeah, no, it's going to be fab. No music. Been very clear about that. There'll be no tunes, just chat.
That's all right.
What a cultured Halloween.
Well, you are, you know, unfortunately, it means poor Howell.
Yeah.
Who's he trick or treating with?
Absolutely fucking no one. Can you imagine Steve taking around every house in the street going, trick or treat?
I can't imagine Steve doing that. In fact, I think you should have put pressure on Steve to do that. Yeah. And then we should have filmed it and put it out.
That would
across Echo and Anfield Rap Double. Yeah. Cross promotion. Here's an awful man trying to do Halloween. He can't handle it.
Oh, he can't do it. Love him. I sent him a spooky street near us where all of the houses get really into it. They like project things onto the houses and they do big displays and all of that. And was like, it's on until 7 if you want to take him before bedtime. And I don't think he's going to go.
No. I'd be amazed.
It's not for him. He tries really hard to get into spooky things because he loves me so much, but it's just not for him.
No, not at all. And the same could be true of Steve. there is amongst all this, Anna. You're getting to see a fellow Rotherham.
I am. I was wondering about asking a Wales comprehensive specific question, but I couldn't really think of one. But I didn't go to Wales Comp, but I knew a lot of people that did. It was the next school along to me. But I have got it. I mean, as you know, I hate Halloween, but my friend Michaela got me these lovely Freddy Krueger earrings, so I felt like it was a good shout.
They are very nice indeed.
Yeah, this is my only.
But I can't give too much of the personal information away. Michaela lives next door to me, and my one regret about not being in for Halloween by virtue of Michaela can't come. I don't want to name Michaela's child because I don't know what her outlook is on that. But Michaela and child can't come round and knock on the door because I'm not there, and I've not put anything outside, so they won't do
nothing
it anyway.
Outside.
Nothing outside, so everyone knows
the sign of a Scrooge.
Well, but it's a real shame. Do you know about the time I've ever told you the story of the time when I bought loads of things for Halloween. Do you know this one?
And no one knocked on.
Because I'd never put anything outside and I didn't know.
You didn't signal it. Everyone's respectful these days.
I didn't know the code. Yeah. I didn't know there was a code.
The code has emerged in recent years, I'd say.
But honestly, I had so many sweets and I was in
you
on my
like
own.
You were like that man in Barnsley who ate his body weight in cola bottles and nearly died.
Well, I wasn't that far away from having my bottle weight in cola bottles. Sorry. Bottle weight, body weight in cola bottles. I was so prepped.
Yeah.
And then no one knocked. And genuinely, I remember
you could hear them outside at the other house.
And I remember being in high dudgeon, like genuinely, like I can't believe this has gone this way. Why on earth has no one knocked?
Why me?
And then someone had to explain. Well, how did you signal you were open to being knocked on? And I was like, well, don't they just knock? Isn't that the theory of this? It's trick or treat.
Yeah.
And you can either not answer or say trick or say treat. And I was my plan was just to be treat all night.
Just all treats.
All treats. All I had night. So many treats. Yeah. And then no,
I
no
think
sign.
You're pretty cocky if you say trick, to be honest. Yeah. I'd be like, I don't want to break through my window.
Yeah, or eggs.
Well, I mean, that used to be the old days. I think now...
They haven't got it in them.
I was driving through Croxteth to one mischief night and an egg hit my windscreen and I don't know what animal it came from, but it was the biggest fucking egg. I think it must have been like from an ostrich or something. It just like covered the entire car. Like, I've never known an egg like it. It was fucking huge.
Mischief night isn't a thing anymore either.
Isn't
maybe
it?
Since you've left, maybe that's when it's changed. But I was saying before we recorded Friday night, when I started at the Ecker, the mischief night shift was like a big thing that you'd be like, oh, you're doing the late on mischief night, like it's going to be mad, and there'd be like car set on fire, like all sorts of mad things. No one even
is
bothers
it the day
anymore
before Halloween here? Yeah, because in Rotherham it was the 4th of November.
No 30th of October. Not anymore. No one bothers. They're all
too busy getting ready for Halloween.
Yeah, wearing their Y2K fashions. Vaping.
Woke nonsense. Utter woke nonsense.
Furtively vaping.
Utter woke nonsense. Anyway,
that's the way in which it's gone. Where are we? What do we have for the AFQ as we go all the way through? Let me go all the way back to the start on the Twitter. Jonas asks this. If you could relive one calendar year, which one would it be and why? Got to relive at the same start to finish. You can't change a detail. Every single detail
has
got to be the same.
Good question.
You just get to experience it as it came at you.
So I'll probably, this is a really boring answer, I'm very earnest, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've never ever wanted to like relive a period in my life or get to like pause time, do it for longer than since having kids. And I say all the time that I'd love to be able to like not keep him a certain age, but get to just enjoy all of it for longer, to get to have every day 20 times because like it goes so fast. So I'll probably say this every year for the rest of his life, but last calendar year, I'll have that again. Thank you. Just get to do it all again.
Mm. Okay, that's rock solid.
Yeah. I have to say I do love like Amelia's like positive parenting stuff, because it's like it's just so nice. It's so nice to see someone who's like, do you know what, this is great, I love it.
A lot of people are miserable cunts about it as if they didn't choose to do it.
It's
doing eyes wide open.
You're right, there is so much of that, and it's like it's really nice to like, do you know what, that's something you wanted to do and you did it and it's great.
Yeah, it's
like,
fucking great. Something a lot of people want to do and aren't able to do for a lot of different reasons. Like, yeah, be thankful for every day.
Probably in the current climate, 2012.
Oh, good year, that.
I just feel like
good year.
We cracked it. Yeah. Like, we'd done it. Olympics, like, Liverpool were a bit shit, but that's okay. We were on the cusp of going to something good. But I just felt like that was the halcyon of, like, what we could have achieved as a country, and now it's gone to...
It felt like that Olympic opening ceremony is kind of like, you know, there's a lot of things there that are really interesting, and it's been really like, it's ridiculous.
What a mad shit going on, isn't it?
Like, what?
Russell Brand carries the torch.
Does he?
Russell Brand carries the Olympic torch.
Oh, good
torch.
Grief.
Yeah.
So this is part of what will be my critique of your choice, is things like this, in that the seeds of lots of downfall are just there. Yeah. Like, my worry with this is you're there and you're living the reality going, oh God, no, it is Russell Brand.
Because you're reliving it with hindsight.
You're in the moment still.
Right.
Let's accept the fact that he was the one true hope of the left at one point. And let's put that on the table. But also, just this idea of imagine like this now and what it would incur. And just simpler times, I guess. Other than that, 2015, because it was the first time I got my own flat, moved to town, and had a wonderful summer.
That's a good year.
That's a great year. Good. Anna?
I think I wouldn't be far off. 2015 or 2016. So I just moved here, started my PhD, but I wasn't, like, it wasn't especially stressful. didn't really start hating my job till about 2017. And not the job I've got now, but like the so it was kind of like had like yeah, so it was probably sometime around about the start of my PhD when just come to a new city, meeting loads of new people, going to running on the prom,
also,
various stuff.
Jürgen,
yes, true. So maybe 2015 or 2016.
Well, you get to live in 2015 or 2016 doing all the same things. Like, this is very Kurt Vonnegut. You can't change anything, but you can know what you know. So in the background, you're like the voice in the back of your head, and you can be watching Jürgen going, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
I know where this ends up.
The thing with Jürgen, though, was that I did that the first time around.
Did it anyway.
Because I was like, I can't believe it, oh my God. Like for the entire time that Jürgen was manager.
Yeah.
I was like, you pick me. like it. So I already did that.
Yeah, I make a strong argument for 2018.
2018, why?
Everything coming together in a glorious way. Living in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, you were.
Yes. Music was unbelievable, but moved house during it. Mm-hmm. Pulled loads of other things together. Football was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Just a really, really sweet little moment. And now 7 years ago, which is long enough ago as well to feel like, well, let's do all that again. And very, very few genuinely bad days. Because I'm very good at remembering bad days. And there just weren't that many in 2018 on the whole. Couple of bad days in 2017. Obviously 2019 comes fraught, and then there's what's going to happen in 2020. Mm-hmm. But 2018 just felt like unbelievable. And Sadio Mane was
I've just remembered 2016 can't be 2016 because of Brexit.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, that's a no. I forgot about that. And Trump.
Yeah. So 2018 had a lot of Mo Salah and Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino, which, yeah, also had Divock scoring against Pickford, which I would love to experience again for the first time.
See, I'm not rescinding my answer, but I'm thinking about how much spare time I had in 2018. Do you know, like, I was out all the time, went to every away, was out most nights. Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
I had a lot to recommend it, honestly.
But yeah, we enjoyed living while I did.
Next one is Helen Whale, who says, what's the best Halloween costume you've dressed up in? She says all seen, but I'm not allowing that. What is the best Halloween costume you've dressed up in?
Once went to a Halloween party with a few mates as the Baseball Furies from the Warriors.
Okay.
That was good.
That's good.
That was good.
That takes a bit of doing.
I should have it somewhere. Try and find it.
That takes a bit of doing.
Yeah, that was decent.
Have you dressed up for Halloween?
Yeah, so, right, this it almost like the previous question, it was very of its time. And also like the Y2K, it's all linked together. Where my first year in uni, when, when BuzzFeed, we all still really enjoyed BuzzFeed. I feel like Taylor Swift feminism was like the best feminism that all of us could hope for. I went as Rosie the Riveter, and it blew people's fucking minds, honestly. Whereas now I look at it and go, oh God, that's so cringe. But it was like, at the time, I was like, I have smashed this. I'm going to end up in some sort of a reductress article for being really, really funny. No one's thought of this before. That was quite good. I think that's probably my best.
Okay.
But it was like slutty Rosie the Riveter, you know?
I expected nothing less. Rosie at her sluttiest. Anna?
Yeah, I refuse to do fancy dress. I'm very...
Picked the wrong show.
I know. I'm just like, particularly Halloween, I'm just like, you can't do like slutty Taylor Swift. Like, it's just not like, I hate all of it. I hate people dressing up. I hate.
So you've never done fancy dress full stop?
No.
Ever?
I mean,
like I'm a bit of a fancy dress conscientious objector.
As you know, I wear fancy dress every day.
Well, that's also my thing. Like, yes, 100%.
Like my clothes are generally a bit fancy dress.
Yeah.
So I don't feel the need to push the envelope.
You're constantly a costume version of you.
Yeah, I'm constantly like a slightly more ridiculous version of myself.
Yeah, okay, not perfectly reasonable.
God, I sounded terrible. That makes me sound really awful and pretentious, by the way. It's just how I wear really stupid clothes sometimes, that's all.
Yeah, no, don't worry at all. Makes some sense. Go on, what's up, Dan?
Sorry, just got tickets to Everton But The Girl, which I've been trying to get for ages, but they put more shows on, so I've just got them.
Huge.
Huge.
Excellent.
Two birds, one stone.
What is
literally over the road from my flat as well.
Oh, stunning.
Because I was trying to weave in a way to say I don't want to talk about it there, but it didn't work. So.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Well done, Dan. Another crazy win.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Lambert asks this. What's the one thing that if you got paid £1 for every time you did it, you'd be a millionaire? So he's worked out he thinks he'd be a millionaire if he got paid £1 for every time he pushed a pull door or pulled a push door. So what's the one thing that if you did all the time, you'd be a millionaire if you managed to pull it out the bag?
Chronic diarrhea. Just every day, every damn day.
You could just have a wee in this context, Amelia. You could have a pound for every all you wees.
But is it not the point meant to be like, because you could go, breathe oxygen, like something that everyone does?
But you're saying chronic diarrhoea.
Be a member of the IBS community.
All day, every day.
There'd be at least £7 a week.
I feel like you deserved it. I feel like.
You would feel like some sort of like millionaire. Yeah. I don't know what else. Shouted at people while cycling in a cycle lane. There'd be some money for that.
Yeah.
Because pushing a pull door, maybe you're doing that once a week, three times a week. You're not retiring off it, are you?
I don't think you can quite retire off it. I mean, maybe Paul's got, you know, some specific issues in a very complex office building. Maybe he works in the Jardo.
Lives in a maze. Yeah. It needs to be something where you're thinking, I'd actually do all right off that. It would make it worth it.
Yeah, Dan?
I reckon, I was trying to think, not on too niche, I reckon being a Scouser, probably saying is going to be my biggest cash cow. Because I try not to, and I do try to get it out of my vocabulary, but it just stays in there. And so if I'm gonna get annoyed at it, I might as well earn some money off it.
Might as well get your aim worth.
Me and Wayne Rooney, fucking minted. He doesn't need it, but you get it.
Anna?
I don't know.
I was
noticing it now. Probably... The last of a thought, sort of, that started to clean up and then got waylaid by something else. Mm. And then suddenly I've, like, found a thing from 2009, maybe, and I'm reading it and I'm like, this is what I was doing in 2009. And then, like, it's 4 hours later and I haven't done the thing I was supposed to do.
There we
are. So procrastinated, I think.
Top level procrastination, okay, I like it. Very, very good indeed. Robert Hannah asks this. Dan, what is your favourite app on your phone?
Oh, nice. What was my favourite app on my phone? Probably my emails, being a bore. The one I use the most are my emails and WhatsApp. But what's my favourite? What's my favourite? Probably... God, I don't know, you know.
Pound it.
It's hard, isn't it? Come back to me.
Do you remember when iPhones first became a thing and everyone had that app where you could drink a pint? Where it, like, filled up a pint glass and then you'd, like, drink it.
Yeah, that sounds clever.
And it was, I think people were paying, like, $3.99 to download it. To just in like a pub go, look. And it was a really innocent, simple time.
Bring shit like that back.
Yeah, that and Vine. That would be the favourite if that still existed.
That is a good one.
Vines were good.
Really like that.
I've got, so I've downloaded this, like, app to try to make me more productive, right? And it's a bird called Finch. And basically, you have to do all these various productivity to keep the bird alive. So the bird's currently a teenager, but because I've got a catastrophizing brain, I'm now planning for the bird dying because birds don't live that long.
Yeah.
And I've got an 800 and something day streak on Duolingo, so I know I can do it.
Mm.
So basically, I can outlive the bird's lifespan, and I'm really worried about that.
Will the bird not perhaps like procreate, and that'll be the next thing that you'll be like? Now there's a family. I
know.
Well,
then I'll still
family.
Know about its granddad.
Yeah.
So it's bittersweet, to be honest, when the birds come back and it's like, oh, I found a rock, and you're like, oh, enjoy that. That might be a last rock.
That's a good concept.
So emotionally, I'm struggling with the bird app, basically. Mm. Which I suppose a lot of people are.
No, it's, yes, in a different sense. All right, Graham Faulkner, what was the last meal you made for yourself that you'd lie about in work the next day if asked what you had for tea last night? So what's the thing that if you would just feel so, I can't believe that I actually ate that as my evening meal, and if someone said the next day, you'd just cover it up. You wouldn't be able to front it. Go on.
I'd say every meal I eat that isn't cooked for Steve and I would fall into this category. The other day I had a tea that was a whole packet of ham covered with a whole packet of cottage cheese with two poached eggs on top.
And any carbohydrate?
Don't need it. Don't need it when you got 80 grams of protein in one dish. That, for example, a tin of like fish pate and a bowl of plain pasta. Do you know when people joke about, like, about girl dinner? Every dinner I have alone is that. Several slices of cheese.
See, I had pickles. I had two sandwiches last night on two, you know, two full rounds of bread, two separate sandwiches. One was turkey salad, and one was one was ham.
That's nice.
And I was like quite mortified by that. So this stuff has just wrecked my head massively.
No, when Steve's not there, honestly, I eat like an animal that's been locked in the house and is like making its way through the cupboards to be able to survive. Like a full bowl of mushy peas and then a separate bowl of grated cheese. It's an ingredients tea.
When does the ingredients meet?
Well, with the
like the point it goes into your mouth, or is there like
the mega protein bowl was all together because I wanted the poached eggs to, like, you know, open and be on the cottage cheese.
Offer you
and
something.
Yeah. Yeah, every meal is...
Is this just what's in the house and you're just throwing it together?
No, it's what I really want. Like, if lived alone, that would be how I would eat all the time.
Boss?
Yeah, like, I like cooking, but I just also really like sitting in front of the telly eating a whole packet of ham. I just think it's... Have you ever done... This might be another one of those teas. Pack of ham and then a bottle of, say, salad cream or mayonnaise, and you do, like, a line of it in the middle of the ham and roll it up like a wrap.
I use that for cheese spread, but yes, yeah. I've done that. Yeah.
Remember that, yeah. I remember it back in the day, yeah.
Just, yeah.
Solid.
I like all of these answers.
This is a question for you. Yeah,
and I feel like we could just keep going here.
I send photos of them to Faye every single time I have one, where she'll be like, "This is the maddest one yet," or like, "Quite normal for you," you know.
So yeah. So when we say a full packet of ham, but in Tesco, how many grams of ham? 125.
As an absolute base level, 250.
Absolute base level of ham. That's so much ham. It makes me feel better about my ham-based decisions. I sometimes feel like I'm too hammy.
Too hammy. It's not always ham.
I just wanted to get clarification. So you're not even interested in Tesco Finest?
Sometimes, if it's like a 2 for £4 situation, I will. But sometimes I won't
Bit of yellow sticker.
It's wafer thin.
Wafer thin.
Yeah. Sometimes
a big packet of wafer thin ham.
And if you like feeling a bit whimsical, you can get the ham. Put the spoonful of cottage cheese into it and then, like, bomb it.
Yeah, and then suddenly you've got a mouthful of cottage cheese, and isn't that a win? Don't we all feel great when that happens?
I got such a game with this, man. I can't match this.
No, it's unbelievable, this. I can't get over this. I want more and more detail.
Honestly,
I want it to be, and then what that'll do is I'll open a can of anchovies.
The ham combos that have gone off in the past, like, 2 minutes.
I'll drain a can of mixed beans.
Yeah.
Will you cook them? Absolutely not. Yeah, what do you think this is?
They're already cooked. They're in a can.
There we are. They're already cooked. They're in a can. They're already cooked. What the fuck do you think this is? I don't want to waste the energy.
Maybe it's that. Do you know? Maybe it's like when you're alone, you're like, I can. I don't have to perform. I can eat a full bowl of drained chickpeas with a fillet of bassa.
No one can ever know. I love how much of this there is. Anna.
Sorry. So I don't know if it is a gendered thing, because I do have some similar sort of experiences. Yeah. So my thing is, if I'm eating it standing over the sink, it doesn't really count as a meal.
Not a meal, yeah.
So Bernard Matthews turkey ham would be one of them. And I could easily nail a packet of that. Like a big pack, not a small one. And children's little pasta thing. So, like, it used to be Noodle Doodle when we were little, but, like, now it's, like, Peppa Pig. Mm. So the Peppa Pig little pasta thing standing over the sink.
Mm.
And also the meal, in terms of an actual meal that I had. So I had COVID a couple of weeks ago and I couldn't face eating most things. So I was like, I'm gonna have gyoza noodle soup, but the noodle soup's gonna be super noodle.
That's absolutely solid. That sounds fantastic.
So that was my
totally fair.
It's like a ramen, yeah.
But yeah,
like a ramen.
Yeah, well, it was like a kind of ramen for a chronically depressed person. but it was just like a not a really a
Yeah, no, I honestly, these have been phenomenal answers. I didn't see this coming.
I'm not your man for this. I
would have thought I might be my man for this. And the extent to which I've been outclassed is hard to put into words.
Yeah, totally.
Like for me and you, it's probably like I had cereal and crumpets and I wouldn't want to let on.
Afterwards,
I decided to have breakfast for tea.
Anything I say is going to sound way too missionary.
You're going to sound like a fucking snob.
I think my answer this is almost just breakfast for tea. I got in, I couldn't be arsed. I had a bowl of Weetabix and two bits of toast.
The Peppa Pig spaghetti, by the way, never ever cooked, always straight out the tin.
Over the sink told me everything I needed to know about whether or not it had seen any heat all the way through.
I'm
know it's an audio podcast, but that's one of the tea
fucking
pies.
Hell,
it's that's just like a pyramid of rolled up turkey.
What you've done there is quite a lot of food prep. So in some ways that's quite impressive.
The protein pyramid,
unbelievable. Question, can't believe it's worked that well. John McDick asks this: what are you buying in Cornwall?
The place.
Just been there for half term. They've got some absolute gear there, you know. Is what he's followed this up with.
So I haven't
been to Cornwall for years, so I couldn't tell you.
I'd like to go to St Ives. The light looks nice.
Yeah. But you don't know what you're buying in Cornwall.
You're not buying the life.
Yeah, have you been to Cornwall?
No, and I'd love to. It's just so far away, isn't it? So far.
It just gives me like really like fucking rip-off vibes.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know why, but it just does. Like,
I feel like St Ives would. Is that in Cornwall?
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
I reckon I just constantly feel like I was getting it off.
Yeah.
But your man there seems to have spent a fortune.
I went to Tintagel when I was about seven, and that was where like King Arthur, they had all the King Arthur stuff. And I think I pulled a sword out of a pretend stone.
Okay.
I went to Cotswolds a few months ago.
Oh, lovely, isn't it?
Nice, man. Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm not as into it. I've been a couple of times, and our David lives down there. And I just.
JD Vans vibes.
I'd just rather go to the Lakes or North Wales.
Would you?
Or round Derby, like that sort of country. It's a bit I don't know quite what I mean. I just don't think it's the full hit. Like I really like Cirencester, around where David lives.
I mean, the answer is I'd rather go to Ireland or Scotland.
Yeah, or the Gower, in the
centre. Not against Wales.
No, but I love the Gower, so I fucking love the Gower. The Gower was incredible, Scotland. There are places. I think.
I don't know. I think that. And we've not really been there or explored it. There's probably bits of Cornwall. Do you know, like when you're in the Highlands of Scotland, where you're like, "This is fucking mad that this is Britain."
Yeah,
like,
it looks
so different. The scenery,
yeah,
and like just how far away it is, like that it's a bollock to get to, probably means that it's got like its own identity. And that while there are tourist traps, there's probably bits of it that are so beautiful you're thinking like, feel like I'm on holiday, in a way that you maybe wouldn't in other parts of the UK. So I think I'd be gazumped into buying most things in Cornwall.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to buy some clotted cream fudge.
Locally made wares.
Yeah. Oh, do they have Cornish blue pottery?
Again.
That stripy stuff? Like blue and white striped pottery?
Can you surf?
No.
Surfboard.
Just
put it in the flat.
They're in Cornwall, isn't it? You know what I mean?
The ladies would love it.
Yeah. Jog them now on the surfboard. Yeah. Ever surf there, lads? Nope.
I got a surfing lesson in Costa Rica once, and it was like a 3-hour surfing lesson, and I thought I was riding like the gnarliest fucking waves. And the guy sent me a video of myself afterwards.
Oh no.
And I was like in the baby pool. With the shittest wave, not even a foot off the floor. And in my head, I was like fucking Patrick Swayze in Point Break. You know what I mean?
All right, next one is Greg Ahern asks this, Anna, who is your nemesis? Have you got a nemesis? Have you got a live nemesis?
I think I've got loads. It depends on the day, really. I mean, there's often like. So I'll tell you who it is. This is awful, and I'm sure they're a nice person. Matt Tebbutt of Saturday Kitchen.
Okay.
He just winds me up. Everything. I'm watching out for him to do something wrong. So I can be like, nah, there's nothing wrong.
Okay.
We have nothing in common, and we've never gone for the same job, for example. there are people potentially who are my professional nemesis. I don't even know who they are. But in terms of people who I'm just like, oh, why are they in this particular place? And this, I'm sure, as I say, he's a very nice person, would be him.
Okay, we've got Nemesis.
It honestly depends what area of my life you're talking about. but yeah, we're just...
All right, have you got a professional nemesis at this point in the new role?
No, I'm not saying that won't come, but so far, no nemesis.
Are you happy about it, or would you quite like one?
I think it is a motivating factor sometimes, having a nemesis. Yeah, it does. It does. Mm-hmm. It distracts you. It also gives you something to aim for. I think spite is one of the greatest motivating factors. I do think the question of who's your nemesis is, again, quite a gender-divided question, because I think, like, I know a lot of women that have got lists in their notes app of nemeses, just, you know, categorised based on whatever. I think.
See, I wouldn't do that in case someone found it.
Yeah.
Because the point, sometimes being a nemesis, it needs to go under the radar.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I'm not out there,
they
like,
don't necessarily
that.
Need to know that they're your nemesis.
Mm. So have you got a nemesis mum?
As in, like, that isn't my mum? Like someone else. Oh, sorry. One among the mum group. Oh my God. Yes.
This is not me. Yes. This is yes.
Be more specific.
Yes, I was about
to say. There's nemesis mums at playgroup. There's nemesis mums in different spheres of my mum life. Yeah. I also have, like, I don't know if you describe it as like a parasocial relationship, but like, they're kind of like the celebrities of my friend group, and they don't even know who we are. So it'll be like an ex-girlfriend of a lad that one of us slept with in uni 10 years ago. And we've, like, followed her career for many years since. Like, they're not together. They didn't wrong us in any way. It's not that they've since married. But we'll be like,
But that's a legacy as well of social media, is that somebody, you meet them in a toilet once, you add each other on Instagram, and suddenly 15 years later, you're judging your life against theirs.
Mm.
And you're like, I have literally never spoken to that person again.
Yeah. And I quite enjoy that. If that all went away, I'd be upset. But yeah, I've got nemeses where I think, like, I'm not necessarily, like, wishing their downfall, but when I see that something bad has happened to them, I'll be like, oh, you know? Mm-hmm. And they don't know me.
They've got no idea. I'm into all of it.
Yeah.
I like a strong nemesis. Dan?
I'm probably a few people's nemesis, but it's not reciprocated. I've just got an Evertonian flatmate.
Uh-huh.
Can't really say that just yet that he's a nemesis, but I'm keeping an eye on him.
I would fucking keep a lively eye on him.
Yeah.
Did you got him in?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Walked in the other day on Sunday, just before they'd played, after the 2 o'clock games. Like, oh, how did Arsenal get on? Like, fucking marking your card here. You know, straight away.
Yeah. He knows exactly how Arsenal got on.
He knows exactly how Arsenal got on.
It's not hard to find out how Arsenal got on, lads. It's not hard to find out. Look on your phone.
But also, that's the first question you want to go to, is it?
Mm. Yeah.
Let me tell you, I watched Everton Tottenham with glee. So maybe there is a bit of nemesis going on there. Fucking hell. You and Sean probably sometimes on The View. it depends, yeah. It's like completely dependent on the day, yeah.
All right.
I've got a few.
I like it. I like that everyone's keeping it ticking over.
Yeah. I respect you more for that. I was quite worried it would get to you and, like, the weird tea. You'd be like, oh, I'm not really the guy for this question. I live a good life. You know, I live a nice life, but good. I'm glad.
I've got a live 6 or 7. I've got my eye on it all times.
6 or 7. Yeah. Are they all based in Liverpool?
No.
I was trying to think of my professional, like, my parasocial nemesis where it does flit at the minute. Mm. I had a good go at Stephen Bartlett on Substack last week. but I'm not going to call him a nemesis again. I'll keep an eye on him.
Keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on him at all times. Mm. Keep moving forward, see where you end up. All right, Robbie Ryan, hiya, Robbie. Says he's watching Tipping Point right now, but he just says, what's your favourite arcade game? So we're in New Brighton. You've got as much money as you need. What are you playing, Anna?
Well, I had... So I went to a conference in summer in... It was in the Black Country Living Museum. So on the evening, we got to do the fun fair for free. And they gave us, like... So we got to go on, like... It was a 1960s fun fair. But there were quite a few, like, games and stuff. But if I'm going to, like, an amusement arcade, it's usually got, like, rides attached. And I'm far, far more interested in going on the rides.
What have you got there?
Steve's answering trick-or-treaters, and I can see it live on the ring. That's the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I love him. I hope the baby's there, just enjoying it as well. Oh, dear.
So your rides?
I'll do a quiz game. A quiz game might probably be the only one I'd consider. I don't like an arcade game.
Not like an arcade game.
No.
Okay.
I'm really, really bad. I've got no hand-eye coordination, so I can't lift up toys or anything like that.
Okay. Dan,
it's the basketball rings for me.
Yeah.
I always think I'm winning it in here. I'm going to clean up. I'm like taking everything, and then I always end up somehow losing.
So the basketball rings are sort of similar to mine. My favourite is rolling the balls into the hole, the holes, and the horses moving.
Mm.
And the way I feel about the basketball rings is the way I feel about the rolling the ball in the holes, in that if I begin to get it right, I'll get it right for ages.
Mm.
Like, it's a learned thing. Yeah. And it might be, and I can't trust... Like, I've won that in the past by a mile. Like, I've took the piss. I've been literally won by 3 furlongs in the past on that. But I can't trust I'll just pick it up from second one. So I might spend the whole time this race is going on not getting me rhythm in.
Yeah.
But if I get me rhythm in early, I'm just best hole.
You're on it.
Best hole.
Yeah.
Best hole. Best hole. Over and over and over again. Mm. And that's the way I feel about the basketball rings, in that if you get flustered on the basketball rings or you get it wrong early, it's a confidence game. But when you know, I just do this and it goes in, I just do this and it goes in, I just do this and it goes in, you're like, bang, bang, bang.
You're either MLS
bang.
Ski in 2001 or MLS Ski in 2003.
That's exactly what it's like. And it's interesting that that's the one that I genuinely am in the mood. What's yours?
I'm just thinking about how much I'd like a trip to the arcades to watch this. I love the horses. Do you know, like, where you pick your horse, you like put like 20p on the red one? That's always fun. I love the penny drops. Is that what they're called? The tipping point ones. I love the spider stomping. I like that. The one where you're whacking whatever the
whack-a-mole.
Creature is. Whack-a-mole. Stomping on spiders. The reaction test one. I love the claw grabber. I love the arcade.
Anna doesn't like any of this.
Anna and I are opposite people.
Yeah. No, but it's just, because I don't like things I'm not good at, and I am not good at any of them because I've no coordination.
Fair enough. Oh, no, I'm shit at them, but I enjoy, you know, being in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you any good at the whack-a-mole?
No.
No? Okay, because that's high coordination, or maybe I'm wrong.
Set off for you to lose.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah,
the house always wins.
Love Hooker Duck as well.
Do you like Hooker Duck?
Love Hooker Duck, yeah.
I can't bother with Hooker Duck. I'm quite intrigued by that.
We should do a little day out. The baby loves New Brighton Arcade.
I was going to say New Brighton's a great day out for that sort of thing.
I push that. See if we can get New Brighton sorted out at some point soon. Big day.
New Brighton away.
New Brighton away. Go from there. All right, let me see if there's anything on Blue Sky that tends not to be.
There was one question when I looked.
Was there? Oh, yes. What's the most supernatural, eerie, spooky thing you've ever encountered? Ask Sam.
Seasonal.
What's your... Have you got a spooky thing?
Oh, do you know what? I was saying before about going to Cotswolds, we stayed in a really nice hotel in Painswick and didn't sleep for 2 nights because there was a fucking vibe in the room. This is not me. Honestly, I am not someone who, like, buys into this at all usually, but neither of us slept to the point where, like, my partner was like, you need to come to the bathroom with me.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like so nice, and like, but there was a vibe in there.
Vibe. Have you looked at like the other reviews to see if anyone else felt a presence?
No, but I might do. You know,
that's it. I believe it more from a skeptic.
Mm. And I am a skeptic, so there. I'll not name the hotel, but
it sounds very vibey.
There's literally nothing in that town, so you'll probably be able to figure it out for yourself.
I'm going to stay for that reason.
Go.
Send me a record.
I'll give you the room number.
Creepy.
Spooky thing?
I don't think I've ever had a spooky thing, you know. Other than, like, do you know when you sometimes have, like, sliding doors moments in life where you think, like, if you'd made one different decision, then you would have been in a place at a certain time, or, like, where you... Someone comes to your mind and you're like, I'm going to go round to my mum's just to check, and then you get there and you're like, oh, I'm so glad that I did. I think only things like intuition as opposed to spookiness.
Mm.
But no, I mean, you know, bring it on. Love a little spooking.
Shall I go to the Cotswolds?
I will be getting myself to the Cotswolds.
So I don't, I'm also a sceptic, but I took some students to Berlin about 15 years ago, and we took a bus to Sachsenhausen, the concentration camp. And on the way to Sachsenhausen, we went past this building, and I was like, that building's just giving me, like, the chills. And when we looked it up later on, and that was the original work camp. Oh. And I was just going past it on a bus, and I was like, that sent me.
Oh.
And that was the original work camp before they built Sachsenhausen. So that's the only... I mean, I work in, I think, a building that used to be an orphanage, and I still haven't had any, like, spooky vibes, so...
I thought you were going to talk about the Piss Goblin in Berlin.
No.
In Bergheim. No, about the Piss... Everyone knows about the Piss Goblin.
No, go on.
In the Bergheim in Berlin, there was a famous, like... thing of someone had, like, basically tunneled underneath the urinals in the toilets and was, like, being urinated on.
Mm.
And like the story goes that a guy was just like having a piss in the club one night and like was like, oh, someone's looking at me from the other side.
Do you know what?
Guy's dead. No shocks. Like
can't be defamation if they're dead. Do you know? Given that an element of Berghain is like kink and a sex club, would you not be like, just let him in, just see if anyone fancies it? You don't need to tunnel. You don't need to do all that work.
Yeah, just get yourself under there.
Yeah, just be up front at the door. Just say, listen, this is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
It's what I'm into.
Yeah.
Someone else will enjoy it.
I won't survive long if I'm doing it, yeah. Which he evidently didn't.
No, you don't need to be scaring people.
No, but yeah.
Mm. There you go.
All right, last one. Just to work us out, is Bill Appleby, who says this. If you decided never to watch football again, he says, asking for a friend, current climate, what would you do instead?
What would I watch?
What would you do instead? Just, you're never going to watch football again. What are you going to do instead? You've suddenly got, I'm saying, a 3 to 4 hour black hole of a weekend and something midweek.
Good. Mm. Yeah.
Rugby league like an episode again?
I don't know. I think I'd probably turn it in with sport altogether.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I'd jibber.
All sport.
Yeah.
You had a good run with sport.
Seen everything. What could I do, though? Don't know. Yeah. What would you do with a Saturday afternoon if you could? I mean, I don't even know now. International breaks, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. You know, it's just like, you invest so much of your life into this thing and... Not only that, like, you don't realise how much you plan around it.
Mm.
Yeah.
To what? Like, after time to watch it on the telly or whatever, to go, yeah, sure, fine. But I think you'd have to have some kind of, like, social plan to see your mates that you're not going to see that football provides you in that sense. But I don't know what the fuck. I'd be a knobhead, wouldn't I? I'd just take up running or something. Be one of them dickheads.
Join the running club. The running club. Do you know what I'd miss as much as like actually getting to go is like having something on in the pub to watch.
Mm.
Do you know, just of an afternoon where you're like, oh, that's on. Not even like the Liverpool game, but just it being on, being a thing in the background that you kind of can dip in and out of. There's no other sport that I'd get. I'm not going to do that for like rugby, am I? I'm not going to give enough of a fuck to zone in and out of the golf. So I'd miss that. I think as well,
you can zone in and out because you know the rules of everything. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's just someone else playing that you don't care about.
I do remember watching Grandstand as a kid and thinking like, you know, the sport was the winner, not just the football was non-existent. So like, you know, my granddad doing the horses of a morning. And then, like, you know, the rugby being on in the afternoon and then him watching the horse race. And like, maybe if I needed to subsidise football, I could just try and live a bit like that.
I have weird grandparents, grandson sort of memories of it just being on. Because me and my granddad used to watch snooker together.
Exactly.
And like, those kinds of things. It was almost like a family thing to, like, watch Grandstand.
Yeah. What would you do?
I think that's interesting in terms... That's a really interesting thing because that's exactly how I... remember watching a lot of other sports growing up is with extended family members and not parents, and what that part of is genuinely when we were all parceled off at the age of 10.
But football was so blacked out to you as well at that point in your life, like literally all you have is teletext or the wireless, and like that wasn't that fun. So football was like non-existent, and now it's so present and prominent that like you can't escape it in the same way.
No, I think it's a really odd little thing, the idea of it. Like, and back to your thing about what is it that you do. Like, I'm amazed I get through summers. What on earth am I doing at times during the summer?
But you get through summers because you know that it's waiting on the other side.
Yeah, that and also, like, and this is part of, and I'm at a festival, I'm watching Charlie XCX at Victoria Park. I'm then 2 weeks later going to Glastonbury, and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm filling this sort of time up. And then all of a sudden... it returns.
It doesn't stop in the summer now either. That's the thing. Like, the football stops, but, you know...
The football chat doesn't stop, does it?
No, exactly.
It's omnipresent. The discourse
is, like, so present still. I just have to pick... Like, maybe I'd do, like, a social experiment to find out what people in, like, I don't know, the Nords are doing. What are you doing with your weekends?
Sauna.
Get involved in some of that sauna, yeah.
I kind of feel like I always overpromise... and underdeliver because I would like to do a lot of things and plan to do a lot of things. But also, I just think I would stare at the wall a bit more. Mm. Probably. I'd probably, you know, watch another episode or something.
I reckon I'd genuinely consider moving country.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, if I didn't have this, this is the
anchor.
This is a proper anchor in everyone's lives, and it just is.
I agree.
Like, it really just is. Because, like, you couldn't do it now. You know, if I wanted to, like, move to Singapore now, for example, the time difference is with the football is the first thing I'm thinking about, and it's just, like, immediately ruled out in my head.
So well, I like, met a new person. We were out watching the football last weekend, and she was asking, like, how do you all know each other? And it's like, through the football, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, like, you forget that it's sort of how... It's an origin story for a lot of the people that you know.
Mm. Read a story on The Athletic today about a lad who was playing for Tottenham. He was like fifth keeper for Tottenham.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name.
Alfie. Whiteman.
Alfie Whiteman, yeah. Yeah, did you read it?
I've seen it. I'm going to read it this weekend.
It was dead interesting. He basically jibbed it at like 26.
He's a photographer or something.
And he's like a photographer and filmmaker, and he's got his own show on NTS, and he's just like, he was just like, my life was set, and like, I just didn't feel... that was the right thing for me, and like,
but I think as well, if you think you can make it as a footballer, because you know everyone wants to make it as a footballer, you kind of think you can't go, well, I don't really want to do that. Like, if you're good enough, then I think that you go, well, I'm gonna have to try it.
Yeah, there's so many like draws there though as a player. Like, imagine the money you become reliant on, like, you know, the sort of sense of identity that it's attached to, and just this idea of like, you know, as a sub-keeper as well, really, for Tottenham, like, you could have just phoned it in for the next few years, or, like, gone the Championship and...
played every, like, in the Carabao Cup.
Whatever, yeah. But, okay. Interesting.
Excellent. We're not going to do the full Kev Walsh hour because, well, part of the reason why we started late is Kev.
Yeah. It's you, don't lie. It's no, you. It
was me. Amelia's got some ham to eat.
It was me having a lovely time with Kev.
Big pack of teddy bear ham to eat.
The teddy bear ham is the way in which it's going. Thank you very much indeed to Amelia, to Anna, and to Zan. We're going to go off and have a nice time.